Let's pray. Oh God, may our words be true. May the songs of our heart live into our actions. God, may our response to the world live out of that reality that we just sang and not out of some of our normal nature. God, let us love the people that you give us the gift of coming into contact with, and let us reach out to those we don't yet know. As I speak this morning, God, I pray that you might speak through me. You would open each of our ears to hear, God, what you want us to hear. That our minds would be open to understanding, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do today, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I heard this story about a guy named Bill Hansen. Bill Hansen's from New Jersey, and he was celebrating his 100th birthday. And what did he want to do on his 100th birthday? But he wanted to go and do the thing that brought him life for most of his life. He wanted to go back to work that day. So on his 100th birthday, he reached out to his most recent employer, where he had been for 32 years, and he said, I want to come back to work today. And this was a plumbing company. So he goes back, and the guy writes a one-day contract for him. And he talks to this guy for about 15 minutes about his birthday, and they got a cake. And then he looks at the guy, and he says, well, it's time for me to go to work. And he spends the rest of his day working. Now, something that was really interesting to me in this story was that he had just retired 3 years earlier. He worked until he was 97 years old. And when people would ask him, why do you keep working? He said, it's one of the things in my life that brings me such incredible joy. He told the people who interviewed him, he said, I woke up every single morning excited about the possibility of going to work. Because what he knew was that he was going to go in and fix something for someone that was going to change their day. I mean, he said the greatest thing that brought him joy was his work, then his wife, then his family. Now, I don't know why he put it in that order, but he said that was the deal. And he said the worst 3 years of his life were the 3 years that he wasn't working. Isn't that funny? He celebrated every single day the fact that he got to go to work. What a gift it was to go. Look, I love what I do, but I can't say every single day I wake up and go, yes! I get to work today. And I also, each year, when I see people retiring, I'm like, that's not a terrible gig, right? Not this guy. He celebrated every single day he got to wake up and go to work. We're in the final week of this series called Desperate. It's funny, I was speaking down in Orlando this week with a bunch of pastors, and I asked them the question that I've been asking us each week, are we desperate? Are they desperate for people to know Jesus? And what was interesting, mind you, this is a room full of pastors. How many of them came up to me and said, you know what's funny? I haven't thought about that in a long time. Am I desperate? We've talked in this series about what it means to be desperate, to be willing to do whatever it took for people to know they were loved. Sometimes I think our actions reflect that we're desperate for people to know they're less than us. Sometimes I think our actions reflect that we're desperate to be above other people. Sometimes our actions reflect that we're desperate just to get something done. But what would it look like if we were willing to do whatever it took for people to know Jesus? So I want to recap just briefly the last few weeks. We talked the first week about being desperate to follow the rules. What does it mean to be desperate to make sure we do everything right? People come in my office, they say, how do I do it right? And then the second week, we talked about something that I think is super important for the church, especially as the world looks at us. How do we become desperate for full alignment in our lives so that everything we talk about actually is lived out and people see that consistency in our lives? Last week, we talked about being desperate for impact. What if we were desperate for making a huge impact in the world? I mean, everybody kind of wants that, right? Everybody wants their life to make an impact. And today I'm going to shift gears a little bit. And we've talked about this the last few weeks leading up to this. What does it look like to be desperate to celebrate? I mean, desperate to celebrate what's going on. When somebody becomes a member of this church, and it's not something we expect everyone to do, it's something where we say, if you're going to become a member, we're calling you to higher commitments. And one of the commitments we say is we want you to share about your church. That's one of the things we say to people. When you become a member, we expect that you'll share about your church. It's not because we want more bums in the seats. We say that because we believe there is something really beautiful to celebrate. And I also know that celebration begets celebration. When we are people who celebrate, just as we can be people that pull other people down, when we are people who celebrate, we are also people that pull other people up. We can choose in our lives to be people who celebrate. And we are a church that celebrates. I was having this conversation with a young mom in our church last week. And she said, I just have to tell you, my husband and I, we tell every single person that we know about our church. I said, why? Like, what? Tell me why. And she said, because we're so excited about it. We want everyone to get to experience this. I thought, man, what if we were all like that? What if we were all so in love with what God is doing in this community that we were desperate to share it with the world? We were desperate to celebrate it. Now, I think celebration is actually a spiritual discipline. It's not one that you'll often hear about, but I think it's something that enriches our spiritual lives. When we are people who celebrate what God is doing, we remember what God is doing. When we are people who celebrate what God does in the times that are challenging, we recognize that God is still acting, that God is still God. I want to illustrate this. I want to look today at the book of Ecclesiastes. This is actually, according to some scholars, the least preached book in all of the Bible. It was one that was fought about. There's a couple, when they were putting the Bible together, they said, we don't want it in there. And this is one of the ones that was fought about being put in. And I think it's important for us to talk about it. When things are usually fought to be kept out, there's a reason for that. So I want to walk through a little bit today. This is happening. This book is written only a couple hundred years before the time of Jesus. It's attributed to the son of King David, King Solomon. And we're finding ourselves in the book today in a place, just after a place, that you might find familiar depending on how old you are. There was a song that came out by this group called The Birds that people have heard of, I'm assuming. The song is called Turn, Turn, Turn. And it's really right out of the scripture, to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. And the Birds made that famous, but understand that didn't come from them. It came from scripture, almost word for word, exactly. And people sang this song. The lyrics were so powerful to people. And right after this part of the passage, we get to the part that I want to look at today. Right after we see that there are good times and hard times, that there are times to kill and times to bring life, there are times to work and times for bounty, there are times to bring pain and time for healing, we get to these verses that come in Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 13. The writer writes, "What do workers gain from all their hard work? I have observed the task that God has given human beings. God has made everything fitting in its time, but has also placed eternity in their hearts without enabling them to discover what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for them but to enjoy themselves and do what's good while they live. Moreover, this is the gift of God, that all people should eat, drink, and enjoy the results of their hard work." I love this piece. I love it because so many people find the part before it really famous because they've heard it, but I love this piece because it talks about timing. The challenge is when we read this, we think about timing in the way we think about timing, which is Chronos time. Chronos time is like logical time. It's 1 hour after the next. I'm going to do this at 2 o'clock on Thursday. It's logical time. But the writer writes about this in God's time. It's called Kairos time. And God's time is different than Chronos' time. It's why people often struggle with the beginning of the creation story when they say it happened in 7 days. God's time is not 7 days. God's time is God's time. So when we talk about Kairos time, when we see that in the scripture, which is the word that's used here, it's the time that happens in the middle of an exhale in a really difficult moment. It's the times that are written about in those times. It's the time that's God's moments where God sort of gets inside of you and pushes you and challenges you. And it's not exactly in chronological. You could say there were times when God got to me. That wasn't 2 o'clock on Tuesday. That happened over a different type of time. And we enter a different experience when we see this. These are times that are measured in the way God calls us to. And that's what's happening in this moment. And then we get to verse 12, where it says, I know there's nothing better for them but to enjoy themselves and do what's good while they live. Moreover, this is the gift of God, that all people should eat, drink, and enjoy the results of their hard work. This is all about celebrating. It says if you want to keep yourself in Kairos time, if you want to keep yourself in God's time, be people who celebrate. Do it because it keeps you in Kairos time. You know what gets in our way a lot of time? Chronos time. Well, I don't have the time for that. I can't do that. I'm too busy. I can't make that happen. Our own Chronos time gets in the way of God's Kairos time. And the scripture here is pushing us to say, if you want to stay in Kairos time, celebrate. If you want to stay in God's way, be people who celebrate. We should celebrate all that God has done, and not in a quiet way, in a loud way. We should celebrate it with the whole world. Because see, friends, the world sees the challenges and the difficulties. And those are real, and we should not downplay them. But how do we keep the goodness of God in the midst of it? Verse 13 says, moreover, this is the gift of God, that all people should eat, drink, and enjoy the results of their hard work. Eat, drink, and enjoy. That sounds like a party to me. What do y'all think? Seriously. Eat, drink, and enjoy. Celebrate the heck out of it. Celebrate with energy and with life. It suggests that there is a reason that people who follow God should be people who celebrate. We should celebrate the goodness of God in our lives. We should celebrate the goodness of God in the world. Look, it is so easy for me to look at the world and say, this is all the hard stuff. It is so easy for me to look at a moment in time and say, that is the worst moment ever, because they're real and they're real things that happen. But how do I thread the needle of that reality with celebration of who God is? That God is faithful even in the midst of the hard stuff. The scripture says, eat, drink, and be merry. And it's interesting because we've been talking about being desperate. And as I read this scripture last week, I thought, isn't it true that we should always have a party to invite someone to? Isn't it true? Because guess what? And there are different types of parties. Nobody wants to come to your crummy party. Seriously. People want to come to your celebration party. People want to come and they want to hear about the goodness that's happening in your life. Again, friends, don't hear this as Tim saying, well, we should hide when bad things happen. Absolutely not. But when bad things happen, when we celebrate the goodness of God in the good times, they can help thread the needle of the bad times. We celebrate in our lives and who God is. We're a church that's about celebrating. On the wall out there in big letters, it says, transform the world, one person, one family, and one community at a time with the unconditional love of Jesus. The way we transform the world is through celebration. The way we transform the world is through focusing on the numbers, on the people. And I want you to see just a quick video this morning that Manuel put together, which is so well done, that shows the beauty of our last year and the celebration of what God has done. I want you to check this out. So I have to confess, I saw the fullness of that video this morning, and I was shocked by seeing all those numbers together. All of those numbers that represent individual lives, all those numbers that represent people. Y'all, I have served incredible churches. I have had the opportunity to be a pastor of really great churches, and I have to tell you, I think the last 3.5 years have been some of the most exciting years of my life. I think there is something special in the sauce called Crossroads. And there is something beautiful that God is doing. It is remarkable when a church is so much about transformation that they're willing to do whatever it takes for the sake of the kingdom of God. It is remarkable and it is powerful. Friends, did you see how many people's bills you've paid this year? That literally has saved people from moving completely into poverty because of your generosity. You help people learn English to transform their lives. You provided students, folks from around the world, with support, with education, with help. You provided all those Thanksgiving meals, coats and boots, Christmas gifts, school supplies. You provided 2 legal clinics so that folks in our community can gain a status in the United States that gives them the capacity to move forward. You have done that. And I wonder, as you hear these things, are you desperate to celebrate it? Are you desperate to celebrate it? Are you desperate to tell the world, my goodness, look at what my church has done? Are you desperate? Because if you're not, I want to encourage you to get there. I want to encourage you to join me. You're making a huge impact on students' lives. I've never been part of a church that has this many school partnerships and more each single season calling us going, hey, could you partner with us? Why? Because you're transforming their lives. We're growing in our kids program and our student program. Your new student ministry director shows up at about every sporting event that I go to. Because he wants those kids to know that somebody in their church loves them. Because it matters. He wants the church to have a presence out there. And you know what? It's your push for this church to be a church that's about kids and students that have gotten us to this place of bringing him here. Hope Preschool, we're connecting with families regularly in our community who need a place for their child to be loved. Are you desperate to celebrate? I am here in this building over the course of a month, sometimes Monday through Saturday, not every week, of course. But I tell you that to say every time I'm in this building in an evening, your building is being used. And it's being used by a lot of people. A lot of people who have found this to be a place of safety. Do you know there are some churches that some people will never walk into? You have created a space of welcome and safety for people that's changing their lives. That is the space that people walk into here. We try with everything we can to say yes as often as possible. Are you desperate to celebrate? And then in 2024, actually starting in 2023, your church leadership had this crazy dream that God brought to us by connecting with our greater community that said, we want to build a wellness center here on our property. We want to connect more in our deeper community with volunteerism and helping serve and help build communities of volunteerism. And we want to care for kids in our community. And you said yes. More than 70 meetings were held, and you have already pledged more than $4 million. Yo, that is not a small number. $4 million to transform people's lives because you do not think it's okay, the mental health crisis in our community. And you have done that. My question is, are you desperate to celebrate it? Because I am. I am desperate to celebrate, but I have a confession for you. This is a true confession. My confession in this moment is that there are times when I talk to other pastors where I don't celebrate this. And this is spiritual growth that I need to do. And I don't celebrate it because what I know is that it's not happening at every church. This is not happening in every church around us. And that is not to brag. There are churches who choose not to celebrate what God is doing. And they choose not to celebrate because these churches are dying. Friends, this church is not dying. This church is very much alive, and God is doing powerful, powerful things. Are you desperate to celebrate it? He's desperate to celebrate, and I'm with him. I am desperate to celebrate. So today we're going to celebrate. I talked last week about impact. Hopefully, if you didn't receive it in the mail this week, hopefully you have one here this morning. You have a generosity card for 2025. It's called an estimate of giving card. And I think I've said in the past that when I go to churches in Africa, what I love so much is they bring these in dancing and joyful celebration. So this morning, I want to encourage you to fill this out. You're going to have a couple of minutes, but I want to know how desperate you are to celebrate. And if you've already filled one out, fill it out again and check the box that says, I've already completed it, because I'd love to have 150 of these this morning turned in. You're going to bring them when you come to communion. Something else I want to tell you is my wife Susan and I deeply love this church, and we are always the first people to turn our card in. And we give absolutely the most we can. We give more than a tithe to the church because we believe so deeply in what God is doing here. So I want to encourage you to celebrate this morning, to turn in the card. Your leadership and your staff have already done that work. They've all said, we're in. We believe in what God's doing here. So do that today. Bring your cards forward. Place them in the baskets when communion happens. There's going to be a beautiful song. You all were staying in the same time vein this morning. It's called Love Train. You may have heard this song. Some of you may know this song. And where the inspiration for it came from was at our general conference this year of the United Methodist Church, which happens every 4 years. They're usually just big fights, and they're not the best of the church, I'm gonna tell you truthfully. And this year, there wasn't a big fight, and it was the best of a church, and the church decided to be a church for all people. And afterwards, they spent like an hour just singing Love Train and saying that we're gonna be a love train because they fought so hard. So today, after you have a few minutes, you have a few minutes to fill out your cards. Pastor Marcel is going to come up and lead us in communion. And then you're going to have the opportunity to dance your card forward as you receive communion. Don't worry about what everybody else is looking at. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Because your generosity today is something that I am desperate to celebrate with you. Hey, it's a gift to be your pastor. Thank you for all that you do. Amen. Amen.